If you want to be an athlete who takes their game to the next level and is able to consistently dominate, then you have to understand what it is that separates the good from the great from the iconic athletes. Think about this for a second. Yes, they have the skills that they know they need to have, but more importantly, they have that mindset walking into performances where they're oozing with swagger, they're oozing with confidence, and that's what we know as being self-belief. So in today's episode, we're actually going to go through a small case study that we went through with an NHL player who lost that certainty or belief within himself and got it back instantaneously in less than 24 hours. And these are the five steps that we followed. That way, you can apply them to your performance so that you can start getting the same results and take your game to that next level, unleashing your true potential. So with that being said, welcome to the podcast. I can't wait to dive in. We'll see you in a second. So self-belief, one of the most important things. Difference makers, welcome back to the Difference Maker podcast. Your hosts, Matt and Chris Calderoni. Been a couple weeks, been a little bit, right? I mean, since we got to shoot, we've had a lot of travel, which was good. We've been posting and creating some new YouTube videos. We actually came up with a little bit of a new editing sequence, I should say, for our channel. So we needed to take some time with that.
Been changed up a little bit, and we're excited actually to launch it rather soon. Hopefully before this podcast.
Hopefully in the next week. Yeah, that'd be great. But no, excited for today's episode because this is probably one that I think we've seen on our social pages blow up the most when we make like a reel or something. Just talking about with, you know, the whole thing behind certainty and confidence and self-belief for athletes. I know that's probably one of the most interested in topics that often gets like a lot of BS spewed about it. Mm-hmm. But we're going to cut out the noise today and get to it because, like I mentioned in the intro, what we're going to be doing is actually looking at a case study that we use with an NHL player who's going through it a little bit. And within 24 hours, less than 24 hours, he literally called, I believe it was the morning of a game, went into his morning skate. We did this session with him. So this was actually the step-by-step in the session. And then went in, goes and does what we told him to do. Dominates that night, goes and gets points.
Yeah.
Right. It's not all about points, but the point was someone who is suffering from performance anxiety, somebody who is suffering from, you know, not properly being brought back into the confidence he needed from being injured, somebody who was having a lot of expectations placed on himself, all of it dissipated within literally an hour speaking.
Think about what that does to you as a player. Like even some of the guys that I have right now that just went through actually the OHL Cup.
That's a junior hockey,
right before the draft into the like OHL, QMJHL, stuff like that. But what that does to a player, if you don't have that self-belief or that sureness or clarity in what you need to do, it just takes you completely away from your game and who you must be and how you must play in order to get the best out of yourself. Because every individual has that certain way of playing. And if you don't have that self-belief behind your own skills, abilities, all that stuff, it's
tough.
You don't know what to do.
Yeah, you have no idea. And that's why, like, that's a good segue into kind of sharing the story on what went down. So this individual, high pick in the NHL a couple of years ago, Somebody who's a fantastic player, crushed it in junior hockey, high expectations coming into him, signed a big contract, all that good stuff, underperforms. And through that, then he also starts, after getting this big contract, he also starts, you know, he had a knee injury that he had to go through. He had another injury that he had to go through, a major injury. And he comes back and the expectation is right away, oh, you know what? You just got paid. You come back from injury. You should be the one dominating now, right? So, to no one's surprise, at least to mine on this side, it didn't happen that way, right? And the simple fact is not because he wasn't good enough or isn't good enough, but because he didn't get walked through the proper steps to mentally return from an injury. Mm-hmm. So, finally, he's tried a lot of different things, speaking with different psychologists, clinically, whatever, on the team, whatever, tried different tactics and stuff, didn't really work for him. Thankfully, there was a player that we've been working with on his team who goes, hey, you should give this guy a call. So gives us a call, talks about it, works through it. And when we walked him through this five-step framework, everything changed. But what the best part was about it was he finally realized he actually did have those skills and that those capabilities. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, one of the hardest things for me to see when I do speak with these individuals and I see that it happens and the way it happens, it's that people truly believe they don't have it anymore. It's one of the saddest things to see.
It's tough to go. Well, especially coming back from an injury, because even with young athletes, it's always, yeah, I want to get back to exactly that same player that I was before. And it's like, well, you got to give yourself a little bit of room, because number one, it could be tough to get back. You still know what you need to do, like, yeah, in order to play your game and all that stuff. But coming back from an injury, like, you got to get back up to game speed. You got to get back up to the non-hesitation to make those plays that you know you're capable of making. But once you see that you can make those plays, and it comes in like one, then happens twice in the next shift, three times and so on, like, it's a building process. And I think setting those expectations to get back in right away, unless you've done that yourself, man, you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you don't. Like, there's always a way. Even if you've had like a bad shift or a bad play, it's maybe you don't get back to your game right away the next shift, but it's how quickly can you?
Yeah, it's the expectation management.
And I think if you take that pressure off a lot of players, it's like night and day difference, because you give yourself room to I guess, minimize the error.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, none of the plays are perfect.
No.
It's just how minimal can you make that error to make the play go forward?
Well, and I think an important part to that, too, is it's something that we saw this manifest to. So you got to remember, at the root of this all, he was just lacking confidence.
Yeah.
Right? He was just lacking self-belief. But it manifested. And then it became, well, I'm anxious going into performances. It's like, of course you're anxious going into performances, man. You're not trusting yourself, right? And I use the analogy of, okay, if I told you tomorrow your entire career rode on the fact that you had to go write a science test and you knew nothing about it, how'd you feel? Mm-hmm. Because I'd be beyond anxious. I said, of course you would. It's the same thing, right? I know it's a completely different world, but my point is, what you're not prepared for, of course you're going to feel anxious.
Yeah.
Anybody that says, I feel anxious, it's because you don't know what to do, you don't know how to do it, or you're imagining you're suffering. Mm-hmm. That's really the truth, right? If you figure out what to do, you've had something happen where then you figure out what that issue or challenging situation is for you to overcome, you can attack it.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to utilize a skill in a specific part of performance, of course it's going to make you anxious. But if you go in and you understand how to do it, you're going to drop the anxiousness or that fear, right? And then if you're imagining the suffering, you just need to have some courage that pushes you over the edge where it's like, hey, well, you know what? I know what to do. I know how to do it. I'm a little bit scared. It's like, no problem. Just go jump now.
Yeah. And
trust
and
yourself.
From our, like, we've said this before on different podcasts and in videos and social media, all this stuff. Like, we've said it before, professional sports it's cold-blooded, it's cutthroat, it's, you need to get into it and you need to maintain your spot.
Yeah.
Right? And that pressure is there. But you have to be able to kind of navigate what comes with the sport or level that you're currently playing at. You have to have that some sort of, again, not every shift,
you gotta have a system,
or every play is going to, yeah, go your way. You have to be able to kind of be okay with that and still have one or two, three shifts that went poorly, but you still have a good game overall.
Yeah, 100%. Well, and that's why when we ran him through these steps, though, all of it disappeared, right? The confidence issues disappeared. The performance anxiety disappeared. And the reason it was is because he goes, Matt, I finally feel like I'm ready. I feel confident. I feel prepared. It's like, that's all it is. That's all it's going to be, right? It's certainty. I was showing some players that I was working with yesterday, just a little chart we drew. We call it here, I'm all a team preparing to let go, mm-hmm, where the meaning is, like, our personal philosophy here is on game day, every single athlete should have two things. They should be enjoying themselves come game day, and they should be ready to express themselves as best as they can, like, game day, you shouldn't be worrying about details. You should just be going and playing and letting the work come to life.
Yeah.
Right? And the problem is, if you don't prepare in a way that allows you to let go, hence prepare to let go, you're not, it doesn't just come to you on game day. Right? So with this individual, it's like, hey, we just got to do a maximum amount of confidence prepping work right now so that come game time tonight, you can just play.
Yeah.
And you can do it again. Right? So here's what we did. Step number one. We brought him back to the times that he dominated. And this is the first thing you need to do if you're lacking this confidence or self-belief in yourself. And this could be through the form of a journal if you keep one. For this individual, he didn't keep a journal, so we had him go watch film of the things that he was doing well. But what this does is it just goes to show you again, oh my God, I've done it in the past.
Yeah.
right? And if I've done it in the past, if there's one thing that is the most common saying ever, it's that success really does leave clues.
Yeah.
So I was talking about this on a training session I was doing yesterday with actually a group of people. And I was talking to them about reading a book, a workbook that we worked on with them. And I said, hey, I don't have a specific workbook for myself, but I do have my journal that I've written out all the things we do here, all the philosophies, processes, systems at Molotium. And whenever I get stuck personally, this is kind of like my Bible. I just go back to it. I look up in the index what the specific thing is, how to build confidence, and I just go play that book back, right? Yeah. I rip that playbook.
You have proof.
And that's all that this did. So the first thing that we did with him was just go back to the times that he actually dominated in performances. And that's something we do a lot of in our programs as well, is helping athletes get very clear on those times. Because I feel like, to your point, sports is so cold-blooded. I feel that sometimes it forces us to move so fast that we forget there's a lot of great things we've done in the past, like any human.
And,
right?
And not only sports, but any high-performing job, anything like that, it is... If you can't perform, someone else is there or will be given the shot. And that's why it's important to, like, that is just going, that's the nature of
the beast.
That's the environment that you're in. That's, if you find yourself, you're in that environment, that's where you want to be, man. That's, you know, you're there.
Yep.
So having these tools to be able to navigate that is, it's important. It's important for anybody, again, at any high level, whether it's, high level in business, sports, anything that you can think of where it's the pressure's on and like you, first off, you want it, but you got to be able to navigate it.
Well, and I think this is the starting point for any program we work on with most athletes who are trying to build their confidence, because it's like, we just want you to see that you've done it before.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Just go back to those times. I feel like we don't do that enough as athletes, is like go back and just experience a little bit of the success we had. Like I heard the best term quite a few years ago, a brag journal. Film of yourself of when you dominated in those past games or performances. That's important, right? But the key is you need to get very specific. So when I worked on it with this NHL player, it was a very specific what game specifically and why. And once we did that and we got to those games, he was able to watch through and learn from the patterns again. So if anybody is considering to check it out, there's a link down below where you can apply to work with us in one of our one-on-one coaching programs. Feel free. We'll see if you're a good fit. Anything else to add to that point?
No, it's just like simple stuff. It's all look for the proof.
Yeah.
You look for the proof, you can move forward.
And as we go through this episode today, for anybody tuning in, just think we're starting at the base of the pyramid and building up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the base. Okay. So the second thing we did then was we actually went and looked for what these patterns were. And we asked ourselves a question and said, okay, now based on this game, based on these games we just went through and watched and talked through together, what are the three things that you do that allow you to be special and to get those results in that game? And we broke it down and we found the three things. It was, okay, I got to play a really good two-way game. I need to make sure I'm using my vision and my playmaking. And I need to make sure I'm shooting a lot, because when I'm at my best, those are the three things that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, so once we were able to get clear on those things, we looked at the last 10 games and we said, hey, okay, based on these last 10 games, rate those three things out of 10. How well did you use them? And I think he graded out on average. His first one was like a 6. The second one was like a 7. And the third one was like a 4. And it's like, okay, what we look for, our cutoff point and standard at Molotium, we want at least an 8 on things.
Mm-hmm.
If you get at least an 8, you know those are the right things you're doing. If you don't, you know those are specific tweaks that you need to go and make and build confidence behind so that you can take them up and get them at least past an 8. So we looked at them and it's like, oh my gosh, look, because what this really does though, this part now gives you the why.
Mm-hmm.
And so many athletes struggle with, why am I not performing the way I need to? And they think there's all this next level shit that they need to go do, when really there's no next level shit. It's like basics win the game, right? And this is probably one of the most true things I've seen in sports. Like I look at even the great Lauri Markkanen we work with in the NBA. Basics win the game. He's good at three-point shooting. He's good at his mid-range game and driving the lane, and he's really good at making sure that on defense he's a menace. If you were to ask Lauri Markkanen, though, 3-4 years ago when he was in Chicago, what parts of his game were at his best, it was just driving.
Mm-hmm.
He struggled with the three-point shooting, not because he wasn't good at it, but he didn't put in the specific reps. He struggled with the defense because he didn't really learn it before, right?
Right.
But when we got back to these and we were able to extract those patterns from this individual, He said, hey, these are the three things. I know I'm not doing them well enough. And now we have a starting point of where we want to build the confidence behind. Mm-hmm. Right? So think of this now like the base of your pyramid. We have the base. Now it's the second level. You've really got to take the time, though, to realize what those truths and patterns are. Because so many times, so for example, when I started with this NHL player, it was my vision, my playmaking, and my two-way game. It's like, but what about your shot? It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. And then you start to realize, oh, it's, you know what? Vision and playmaking actually go hand in hand. And that's why I was confident. So when you look at this and you see it and you go through this, I think what Chris was trying to say a little bit more of, going with it means you need to get very clear and you need proof of that. So it can't just be, my this and my this and my this. It's like, well, one step you could take with that, like us, we had film to back that up. If you don't have film, though, you need to go to somebody that you can trust. A coach, could be a teammate, could be, but somebody that knows when you're at your best, and you need to get their background info on that, right? So make sure, first thing, know the times you dominated. Second thing, get clear on what you did to dominate. So this gives you the how, the second thing gives you the why, and that's how we start to build it. Now, the third thing we need to do is we got specific on the situations that he needed to use those strengths in right now. So what we said was this. Okay, so you're really good at your vision and playmaking. You're really good at a two-way game, and you're really good at shooting. Let's talk real for a sec. What situations with this specific team do you use your vision and playmaking in? And he described it. He goes, when I'm coming off the boards and I'm cutting in, that's when I have my time to make plays. It's like, great, that's awesome. It's like, what about your shooting? Where do you get to shoot the most? He goes, man, the most shots I get on this team are around the net. So here's the thing that I want to make very clear. The reason this is important to understand those situations, you can go out there, and you see so many athletes just go out there and work on their skills. But because they're not situation specific, or what we say a purpose and an intensity, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Right? That's like you saying to me, Matt, you need to go write a test. And I'm going to say, hey, you know what? Great. I'm going to practice my spelling. It's like, but the test is on science.
Yeah.
Right? So even though part of writing getting this test done is writing, I can't just work on writing to get the result.
Well, yeah, it's like even having that knowledge of when you do get into those areas, like you can get it done. Like those specific areas for him, it was where? In front of the net? Did you
see? In front of the net to score, and then his playmaking was coming off the wing.
Yeah, so in just knowing that you can do those things, it's kind of like, it's almost like having a bit of a fallback plan. Like, because then off of that, you know that you can dominate in those areas. Then you can try to, in game, if you're feeling it, you can try different things.
Right.
You have that confidence and you build off of it.
But, and to Chris's point, like what we did then with him was understand, okay, situation specific for those strengths. So remember, his strength was vision and playmaking. The question we asked, though, was what situation do you use your vision and playmaking in? That's when you marry the two of them together and say, well, I use my vision and playmaking when I'm coming off the wing and cutting into the middle and creating a play. So now what we can do is we can work on those specific situations where he's building confidence in. And the second thing was, well, where do you shoot from? Imagine if we worked from shooting with the perimeter with this guy. For anybody who's not a hockey player, when we say net front, we're talking literally within the crease of the goal area. We're talking literally right around there, which is where this individual scores. So if he starts practicing his shot from the perimeter, it's probably not going to yield him the best result.
Yeah.
Right? But if he goes in there and does the game-specific work, that's where the confidence comes back.
Yep.
And that's where the anxiousness goes away and he starts to see that he can do what he has to do and it worked. Okay, now going forwards on that, the fourth thing is, once you have that situational specific application that you use your strengths in, the fourth thing is you want to make sure to start visualizing before you start to do any work. And what you're going to visualize is the following. Number one, you want to visualize first the specific technique you need to be using to be successful with those skills. So many times we see this, and this is the major, I don't know, would you say it's like a common sports psychology way of doing it? Like you visualize the end result?
Sometimes. It depends on what it is. Like if you're not specific with it, then...
Yeah. And I think that's a recurring theme, purpose and intensity. But so many times we see athletes make the mistake of just visualizing the end result that they want. The truth is, though, getting the end result comes from being sure of the skills you have. Mm-hmm. So if you're just going in and visualizing the end result, that's great. But if you don't trust the skills you have to get you that end result, it's never going to work.
Not only that, if you don't physically get there in different ways as well, like if you're not, if you're just visualizing and then not practicing it.
Well, we're going to talk about practice like in a sec. Yeah. Right. But looking at it, the most important thing is visualizing to start with it. And what you want to do is you want to do 3 sets of 10 reps. You want to take each of those 3 basic skills and you want to visualize yourself using those skills in the situations that you mentioned. So for this individual, situation number one, we saw him coming off the boards using his vision and playmaking and creating a successful play. So notice right there in the situation, he's getting confident in those skills. The second thing we had him doing is seeing himself scoring from right in front of the net. And then the third thing we added in, remember he said he played a really good two-way game. Mm-hmm. We had him visualizing perfectly playing that two-way game to shut players down. So the reason that we started with the visualizing, and what I want to be very clear about, this certainty starts, this confidence starts by getting clear on the skills first. The second thing we're going to talk about, where Chris jumped ahead a little bit, we'll get into now, is practicing the skills in the actual situations. So many times athletes will just go practice the skills, but the problem is if you're not trusting in those skills yet, they're not going to come to life.
Yeah. It's well, like with anything, if you don't have the confidence with it, it's not up to the level that it needs to be at, whether it be the speed, how hard you make the play or whatever it is, you're not going to do it.
Yeah. And that's the certainty. I think what's important to understand, like if you look at any athlete, I was mentioning this in a video before we were shooting. So Steph Curry, they said to Steph, so why, like, what do you think about basketball? He goes, basketball is more than just a sport. It's an art you need to master. And that right there is a critical saying, because if you go listen to some of the interviews that he's being interviewed in, when he talks about basketball, he goes, I'm not a good basketball player. I'm a master craftsman at shooting 3 balls, a master craftsman at making plays, and a master craftsman at playing defense. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's the mentality behind, build certainty behind your skills.
Yeah. Well,
master the skill.
And you need that simply because, like, I think you've said it before too. It's not that you're not thinking in game, but as the levels get higher, you need to be able to do things faster. And professionals should technically be the fastest with which you're either thinking, doing, or whatever.
Right? Yeah.
Most efficient. Not speed, but most efficient. So if you don't have that certainty in knowing that you can do that skill 10 times out of 10 without any pressure, like, you in game, it's going to be that much faster and there's going to be that much pressure on you regardless of who's around you. You have to think less and you have to do more. It's almost go on autopilot. So all this stuff that we're talking about with the visualization, physical practice and all that stuff, this preparation leading up to that, it's huge.
Yeah. And that's all it is. It's preparing to let go, right? So once we got him visualizing, so when we had him visualize, we finished our half hour call that we had with him. We said, okay, these are the 3 specific skills now that you're going to visualize. So let's walk through it really quickly again. We started with getting clear on the times he dominated. We then made sure to add the second layer to the pyramid, which was getting clear on what he did to dominate in those situations. And we extracted those patterns. Then number 3, we added another layer and we got specific in the situations he needed to use those skills in. And number 4, now we added another layer, which was starting to visualize. And you're going to do 1 set of 10 repetitions for each situation, right? So he did 10 repetitions for coming off the boards using his playmaking, 10 repetitions of playmaking in front or scoring in front, and 10 repetitions of playing a two-way game. Then the final part was, we said, hey, in your morning skate, you're actually going to go work on those 3 things for 5 to 10 minutes each. And the most important thing that you can do with this, you must make sure, number 1, that you have game intensity. I don't care if it sounds like a dad saying, a sports dad saying, or a sports mom saying, the way you practice is the way you play. It's probably one of the most important things. We've seen this, Chris and I have seen this so many times, where players will tell us, like, well, I went and practiced, but I'm still not feeling confident. It's like, how did you practice though?
Yep.
At what intensity and with what kind of pace did you use?
And if you want to even just take a pass at, like, not even for the certainty, but just get the damn cardio in, man. Because you got to be able to move for the entire game.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, looking at it too, I think one of the most important things that athletes miss on this, intentional preparation will get you the intended result. So many times athletes will come into it and they're just going through the motions. It's never going to be the thing that works for you.
Yep.
Ever. And it's one of the things that I think so many athletes mess up and make mistakes behind. And it's not your fault. Like, you've been told, you know, practice, but you have to realize, like, if there's one thing that I've seen that separates the top individuals from the average, it's the way they practice things.
I wonder if there is a time to go through the motions. Maybe on game day, maybe on warm-ups. Just go through the motions.
Well, even then, even then you want to start bringing intensity, right? But like, if you're just starting out mastering a skill, of course you're going to do it with less intensity. But that's if you're learning a completely new skill, right? That's like, you got to think, you're not going to go fast before you master it at a slow level. You need to go slower and then build and build. The whole point is, though, it's progression. So looking at it, what we did with this individual was had him practice those scenarios specifically so that he could feel like 1,000,000% going into the game. And then all we had him do is look at it and say, well, you know what? I'm doing this really well. I'm confident in what I need to do. I'm trusting myself. But I said this, and I texted him this before he went out and did it. I said, do not leave the ice until you feel 100%. And he goes, okay. So he goes, what if that means I need to take 15 minutes? It's like, take your 15 minutes. The key is, when you're doing this, you need to leave with the feeling that you're ready to go.
So I think you've said that before, train for confidence as opposed to
build certainty.
No, but like, I mean, that feeling of, you know, you're done when you're feeling confident.
When you're feeling confident. And it's the truth, though. Like, you can't think about it. The reason you're preparing and the reason you're doing this, it's so that you can take care of all the hard work now. And on game day, you can just let go and play. Mm-hmm. Right. And a great example of this, there's a player in the MLS that we work with. He goes, man, I've been doing the work. I said, great. You're not getting the result, though. He goes, well, I'm doing the work. It's like, well, you know what? Let's try something. Let's talk about a player that we need you to play like. So he told me the player that he needs to play like. I said, let's take the film that your team records from practice and watch your intensity in practice and compare it to that player. Night and day. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't to chop him down either, to be like, told you so. It was to say, hey, look, a lot of times athletes don't have that self-awareness and they overassume it. And when you can slow things down and get it on video, it does a world of difference for you. And that one shift in intensity was the one thing that brought him a point on the weekend.
Yeah, and not just athletes, but anyone in general.
Anybody.
Yeah, you have to train that self-awareness.
Yeah, you have to. So using these reflective mechanisms, it's important. So even for this, if you're somebody who's like, ooh, I don't know if I'm really doing it with the right intensity, there's an easy way to do it. Watch YouTube videos of players you used to watch growing up. Match their intensity going into your performance.
Or even if you feel like you are doing it at the intensity that you need to, that's probably an indication just to see, like, okay, if I feel like I'm there, maybe I should check out just to see if it's matched up.
Well, and can I just say too, like, I have to be black and white with this and blunt. If you're not getting the results you want, it's either a result of you not preparing with specificity or purpose, or meaning you're not working on the right skills in the right situations, or because you're not preparing with the right intensity. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be one or the other. Like, I've tried to break it down so many different ways too with people like that I've thought, and athletes that we've worked with, where it's like, oh my God, they're not getting the result. Like, is it our, you know, kind of thing? Is it because of this? And then when you really break it down, it's like purpose or intensity. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be purpose and intensity. Yeah. Even with mental reps, like, it's always going to be purpose and intensity. If you're just going through it to sometimes do a visualization, it's not going to work. If you visualize with intention, it's a completely different ballgame.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, it's always going to come back. If you're lacking that confidence or certainty, it's always going to come back to that purpose and intensity. Always, always, always. So let's recap this. Okay. First thing we did with this individual, and this, remember, the one thing I'll say too is this can change your outcomes instantaneously. This didn't even take 24 hours. This took phone call at 10 a.m., game time at 10 p.m. because they were in different time zone. So we're talking like, what is that, 10 hours?
Yeah, around there, depending on what time zone you, yeah.
Yeah, close to about 10 hours, right?
How do you do?
You got 2 points. Got Sounds 2 points. Good. And it's like that right there, that's the point of it. It's not all about points, but the point is, saying that word too many times now, the purpose is, if you do specific and intentional work, you will get the intended result. but you must work with the intention sitting there at the end. So if you want to score that night, you need to work with the intensity you will need to score in a game. You can't just sit there saying, well, I beat the goalie. But did you beat the goalie at the intensity you need to beat them at tonight? No? Then it's not good. Mm-hmm. It's black and white. Like I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and I was saying, I guess, like, I kind of had that dumbfounded aha moment where I was saying, like, I guess it really is just preparation meets opportunity. Like, I guess that's really all it is. Like, we say this all the time. The ugly head of your preparation will show itself in game days.
Yeah.
If you don't prepare well, it will show in games.
Because you got to also assume, too, the people that you're coming up against, they're training to
beat you.
So, and if they're doing it with the right intensity, like if people are going 150 and 150, it's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
If they beat you out by, you know, they're going 150 in the preparation and you got 130 in your preparation for that week, they win.
Well, and that's a good point. It's like, because this is also your superpower.
Well, again, yeah, you have to assume, especially at the level that you're playing at, that people are training just or preparing or whatever it is, they're going just as hard as you, if not more.
Yeah. And well, and the best thing is leave yourself pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. I mean,
right.
I personally think if you know you put in an entire week's worth of work, you finish a game completely exhausted and you win, like
feels good.
That's a legitimate win.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, you played 5 minutes of or 10 minutes of an hour game, you guys win, and it's like, eh.
Well, the other thing, and to your point, the other thing too is you got to realize you're assuming people are preparing that way, right?
I think you have to.
You have to. No, Chris is right. You have to. But leave yourself pleasantly surprised, because what you're going to learn is maybe 50% are actually preparing with that kind of...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But when you come up against that monster that's
You'll face going. It. Yeah, it'll be a good face-off. But that's why, like, if you look at it, if you just take care of preparing with purpose and intensity, you're going to feel like $1 million on game days. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of individuals you will play against that do not prepare even close to the way you do.
Yeah. The only thing I think I have to say for that is like the comparison to other guys at your level. Like, everyone has a different way of preparing and stuff like that. And you just have to find the way that works best for you, so that you can apply the proper intensity and purpose to your stuff.
So to Chris's point, though, and just to be clear on that, that doesn't mean avoiding the work or taking it easy.
No. I'm saying
no. Fine. I know, but you can't take it easy.
Yeah,
it's got to be. There's going to be some days that you have 40%, and you give it all, and all that 40%, you empty the tank. You need to do it, mm-hmm. Right? Schedule your off days. We say that all the time. Schedule your reload recovery days, but those are purposeful. And then those become a part of your winning sauce, mm-hmm. Your secret sauce. But you need to prepare with purpose and intensity. So 5 steps we use to get this guy out of his slump within 10 hours. Number one, we got clear on the times that he dominated in the past. Watched video for it. You might have video. Great. If not, go make sure that you take a journal down, just reflect and write. This can help too. Number two, get clear on what you did to dominate. That gives you the secret sauce as to why you dominated the way. Extract the 3 skills that you used, okay? So this individual, two-way game, vision and playmaking, his shot. Number 3, get clear on what specific situations you need to master these skills in right now to be successful in your current game. So this could be as simple as, hey, I like this one individual, I need to use my vision and playmaking coming off the boards, cutting to the middle. I need to use my shot in front of the net, and then I need to use my two-way game top to bottom on ice. Number 4, you need to visualize yourself using these skills with excellence and consistency. You can't just do it half-assed. And number 5, once you visualize each of those 10 times, you need to go physically practice it for 10 to 15 minutes each, and it will work. Now, if you're looking for some guidance on this down below, you can apply to work with us in one of our one-on-one coaching programs. We only take on 2 athletes max per week. That number might have to change, to be honest with you. But you can apply down below, see if you're a good fit. We'll see if you're a good fit for it too, and then kind of go from there. But if you need some guidance on this and you're really serious about taking your game to the next level, click the link down below and you'll be able to sign up. With that being said, We'll see you all in the next one.